many of you were here last week? Really? Okay. I can't see when you do that because I'm trying to get a sense of how. Okay. That's almost like 70%. So those of you who haven't been around, we're doing a series called The Story. And basically what we're doing is we're looking at the Bible story and where we came from and who's Jesus and where did Jesus come from and where did all of this start? And so what Mark has done in the last 2 weeks, what we started by saying is throwing out everything we know and trying to figure out if we did not know anything, what would life be like? Where would we have come from? And we put together all our ideas and we discovered that we watch a lot of movies because it was all about aliens and flying pink cars. But then after that, we went into the Bible and decided, let's take a closer look at the actual Bible story and see where we came from and how all of this began. And so one of the things we discovered was that most of the story takes place in the northern tip of Africa and a bit of the Middle East. That's where most of the story is focused. And actually, this is the part where now I find out how many of you are here and what you learned. So what did we learn from the Old Testament? What's the first big event? Who can tell us? There we go. Creation. Very easy. The easiest to remember. In the beginning, God created. Yes, Adam and Eve too. Heaven and earth. Okay. And then after that, what happened after he created them? They were separated because, as we know, all humans are, eventually we end up being sinful. So they decided to rebel against God. And then after that came Noah. Now tell me, what do you remember about Noah? Why is he important in the story? Yes, he built the ark. What else do you know about him? Yes, he was the only righteous guy. Like, everyone else was busy doing other stuff. Like, you should read the Bible. If you read that part of Genesis, it's quite shocking, the stuff they did. And so he was the only one, yes. And then came the separation of the nations. And this is when God confused them and gave them all different languages. And people were laughing at me in the first service when I said I could be able to speak Afrikaans in a real world. I'm from Kenya, so speaking Afrikaans is like punishment for me. It's like I need it'll, one day, I can only get Hoyemora after that. And Asablief, those two. Those are the only two I know. So basically what happened is they all started speaking different languages. And then came Abraham. What do you know about Abraham? Come, don't be shy. There's no wrong answer. So yes, there were two brothers, and the seven tribes of Israel came from the sons, right? And then came Jacob. You mentioned Jacob. And then came Joseph. What do we know about Joseph that's like a big event in the Old Testament? He was Pharaoh's right-hand man. Jonathan? Yes, he was sold by his brothers. How evil is that? I mean, who does that? But anyway, because he used to have these dreams when he was younger. And then his brothers sold him away, and then eventually he became Pharaoh's right-hand man, and when there was this huge drought, he was able to help all his people because he's the guy who organized all the food and everything. But after many, many years, well done. I need to get you something because that was like the whole sermon. No, seriously, he's covered the whole story. And if you look at that, those of you who didn't get this last week, we still have copies of these if you want some. And this is basically... Oh, you can go hang out with him. There's that too. Because he literally has described all the major events, all the way up to the side. There's the division, which is right there, number 13. So they went through the wilderness. And in the wilderness is where they should have taken 1 year to get to Canaan. But because they rebelled against God and they became so grumpy, God kept them there for 40 years until that generation died. And so eventually, after all that wandering, Joshua was sent. And they went and discovered that there's this beautiful place. And then they moved on into the phase of the judges. And from the judges, we go into the division of the kingdom of Israel, which was the north and the south. And eventually there's this silence, which is now the end of the Old Testament, where we had a lot of prophets, but then it just went silent. And as opposed to the beginning of the Old Testament, we didn't hear much from God. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to look at the New Testament, because now we've got the story of the Old Testament down. And now this is like 400 years later that we pick up in the New Testament. And before I take us through, tell me some of the things you think stand out for you in the New Testament. When you think New Testament, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Jesus was born. Jesus died on the cross. He rose after 3 days. The gospel started to spread, Jonathan? Okay, same thing. Anything else? Jesus heals sick people. The Pentecost, yeah, that's a big one. And so basically what happens is this story begins with the birth of Jesus. And I think the thing that for me stands out the most about the Old Testament and the New Testament is they're very similar. And if you read through the books of the prophets, the birth of Jesus was foretold by Isaiah. And so often people try, you find people who don't know the Bible, or people who are not believers saying, but the Old Testament is like old, and the New Testament is only the New Testament. We should only read the New Testament. But actually, if you take time and read, you can draw a lot of similarities. Because the coming of the King, the Messiah, was foretold in the Old Testament. And it starts with the shepherds who are out in the fields, who see, who an angel visits them and tells them about the birth of Jesus. And then we have wise men as well who travel to come and discover this great King Messiah. And so it opens with this birth of Jesus. And we have Mary, who was a virgin. Do you know she was like 14? I was thinking about that yesterday. She was like 14 years old. And then she gets pregnant. I mean, really. So, and it wasn't like natural. So imagine how astounding this story is already if it begins with this young girl who's told that you're gonna be the mother of the king of the world, so to speak. And so at that time, they had to do a census. And so Joseph and Mary had to travel. And that's just a map that shows you how far they had to travel. And that's why Jesus ends up being born there, because they were in a totally different location because they had to do a census. You guys remember we did a census last year. We all know what a census is, right? It's when everyone has to be counted so that the government can tally the taxes and all that. And so after the birth of Jesus, now many years later, in between then and now, we are at the point where John the Baptist starts to go around proclaiming that Jesus is coming. And there's a couple of years that goes in between, because Jesus' ministry only starts when he's 30 years old. So since he's born, there's quite a number of years in between. And there's other events that takes place, like when he was at the temple, when he went and got lost and his parents were worried about him. So I'm going to encourage you to go back to the Bible and see. If you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's the same story of the gospel, but it's told by different people. And so sometimes you find a story in Mark that maybe John told differently or maybe Luke told differently. But the biggest thing about this phase is when this is when Jesus is first revealed to the public. And so John the Baptist is at the River Jordan and he's baptizing people, and Jesus goes up to him and says, "Baptize me." And so he baptizes him, and as he comes up out of the water, there's this huge light, and then a dove comes and rests on him. And this for the people is God's arm of approval, saying, "This is my son, and this is the person who I have bestowed my favor upon." And so this then begins Jesus' ministry. He goes into the wilderness for 40 days and wanders around, and this is where he's tempted by the devil. And again, it's one of those things that it's not a big event, but we are not choosing to highlight it. But please go back and read about it, because it's after that that he comes back and starts his ministry. And one of the biggest events in the beginning of his ministry was the Sermon on the Mount. You remember the Sermon on the Mountain? Matthew 5, when he talks about the Beatitudes and blessed is he who is. That was the Sermon on the Mount. And it's, for me, it kind of reminds me of Moses when he went up the mountain and received the Ten Commandments. Because it was also instructions he was now giving to these guys. That this is the way you should live your life. And so the ministry of Christ was mostly him showing people his power. This is when he was healing the sick, he raised the dead, and he had disciples as well. And so the ministry eventually concluded with his death. And this is because he existed in a time when, don't forget, the Jews had the word passed down to them in the Old Testament. And so finally, here's the person, the Messiah they've been waiting for, but they're confused and they can't accept him. They're like, "But no, we thought you'd come and be on this huge throne and have a crown." Their idea of a Messiah wasn't this guy who walks in sandals and, I don't know, feeds them fish and bread, you know? But he was the Messiah. And so there's so much division among them, and there's grumbling, and so they wanted to kill him. And so eventually, you know the story of Judas. Eventually, Judas betrays Jesus, and Jesus is crucified. Now imagine his disciples who've been following him and thinking, finally, the person we've been waiting for, but he goes and dies. It's like, what's up with that? And thankfully, the story doesn't end there. Jesus, after 3 days, is resurrected. And the resurrection is a symbolic, it symbolizes hope, especially for the disciples, because for them, they'd been walking with Jesus for so long. His ministry lasted 3 years, and then he dies. But when he raises from the dead, this is a representation of the power of God. And so they meet together, and now they are even more encouraged to go out and spread the word. And so let's see how far we've come. So it starts with the birth of Christ, and then his baptism, and then his ministry that lasted about 3 years, and then his death, and then the resurrection. And so when you look at the New Testament, it's almost like in two parts. The part where Jesus was on earth, and then when he left, and it was his disciples who had to now take over from him. And the second part we go into is now the church, the establishment of the church. What's the one thing you think of when you think of the establishment of the church? What's the one big thing that comes to mind? Anything, anyone? Power of the Holy Spirit? Okay. When Saul became Paul. Yes. And this happened, if you look at the book of Acts is mainly about the growth of the church. And so it begins with when the disciples received the Holy Spirit. They were together in a room, and they were praying, and God imparted the Holy Spirit upon them, and they could all speak in tongues, and they had all these gifts. And so this gave them the power to go out and now preach and heal. And when you read Acts, it's amazing because they did awesome ministry. These guys were like raising people from the dead and all that. And so you can imagine how hopeful they were. Because now, even though Jesus had left them and gone up in the ascension, they still had the same power that he had. Because he said to them, you'll be able to do greater things than I have done. And that's exactly what the helper was about. The Holy Spirit empowered them to be able to do that. Then came the proclamation, which is them going out and proclaiming, this is the gospel. And I think one of the key things about the book of Acts is there were so many conversions. People were meeting in like houses, and there was churches all over the place. It was like this whole, it's like a revolution of sorts, because all of a sudden they just had all this excitement. It's like, we have to tell people about Christ. But then at the same time, don't forget the people who killed Jesus were still there. They still opposed what they were doing. And so because of that, a lot of Christians were persecuted during that time. And guess who was doing the persecution? Saul. And so Saul was a Roman centurion who was going around persecuting Christians. And one day on his way to Damascus, he's riding on this road, and a bright light appears, and he hears someone call out his name, and he goes blind, and he says, yes, Lord. And this was where the conversion happened. And so Saul became Paul. And after this experience, he then started to proclaim the gospel. And he went out on all these missions. And so Paul, Barnabas, and Silas went across, now proclaiming this is who Jesus is, and starting churches all over the place. And they went on 3 missions. Don't let the map intimidate you too much. It's just an idea of all the places they traveled to. That was their first mission. This was their second mission. You can see they went to Ephesus and Philippi and Thessalonica. And I think the cool thing about this is where the letters come from. When Paul later returns to Romans, these are the guys he's talking to. It's because he's the one who went to them and told them about Christ and left. But then they later needed instruction. That's another map. And then this is his journey back to Rome. So when he got back to Rome, all these people were trying to catch him. They'd been trying to arrest him because they didn't like what he was doing. And so what happened is, because he was a Roman, they didn't put him in jail first. They put him under house arrest. And for 2 years, he was able to write all these letters to these people. And here I have a bit of a breakdown, not there, of some of the letters he wrote. For instance, if you read 1 and 2 Corinthians, you see it's a lot about immorality and division and strife. And basically, the Christians of the Corinth church were asking Paul, how do we deal with these issues? Because these are the issues that are troubling us as young Christians. And it was the same with the Philippians. The Philippians needed to be encouraged as believers. And with the Romans, if you read Romans, you see Romans is very, I would say, theological. Like the first time I read Romans, I was totally confused. It went in through one side and out the other. But basically what he was trying to say is establishing righteousness, the law, and sanctification. And don't let it discourage you when you read Romans the first time. Read it again and again, and the Holy Spirit will work through the words of God to reveal to you what the message is in the book of Romans. And he did the same thing with the church in Ephesus, which is Ephesians. So basically a big bulk of the New Testament is about those letters. And when you read through the letters, even Timothy and John, you'll see that it's just instructions for living. It's like, now that I have the word of God, and now that I'm a new believer, how do I live life? And I think the cool thing about being Christians and about the Bible is like it's the same things being told over. The same things God was saying to the Israelites in the wilderness is the same things he's saying to us today. The same things about sin and don't let sin rule your life is the same thing Paul talks about in Romans, where he says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. What are the patterns of this world? It's immorality. It's sin, you know? So don't let it ever... Sometimes people will try and make it seem like, no, but the Bible was written ages ago. It doesn't make sense to us now. But then the thing about the Bible, it's God's character. And it's God revealing himself through all these stories. It's like how he related with Joseph, how he related with Moses. It's the same. And you can take those very same principles and apply them in your life today. And so the final part of the New Testament is Revelation. And basically Revelation is John receiving three visions about the past, about the present, and the future. Many people actually think Revelation is about the rapture. Me as one of those people. Yeah, you know? But actually, when you read Revelation, there's nothing about the rapture. But it can be very complex, so don't let it intimidate you when you read it, because it is a mystery. And we actually don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if there's going to be a big bang, and then a light, and we'll all be carried up, or whatever, you know? But basically, all you need to know about Revelation is that he had three visions, and in each of these three visions, God was revealing to him how the end is going to come. And that is the New Testament. Those are the seven churches, and that's what the New Testament looks like. Okay? Those are the major events that you need to take away. If ever you need to say to someone within 5 minutes this week, someone asks you, what's the New Testament about? If you look at that image, it's very easy for you to pick even two or three events. I mean, the birth, the death, and the church. That's literally the whole of the New Testament, okay? And I have some handouts, Jonathan. Did I give you? Yeah. So Jonathan's going to pass out some of these. And if you want the Old Testament ones, there's some at the back. You can come and ask me. But that's it for today. I just want us to pray. And I'm going to encourage you, as you go out this week, share a story with someone. It doesn't have to be the book of John says. You don't have to sound like a preacher, you know. It can just be, let me tell you a story about these guys who were in the wilderness for 40 years. It's actually a cool story. Actually, I don't know why they haven't made a movie about the Old Testament yet. I think I should do that. But take time and tell someone a story, any of the stories that stand out for you. My favorite story in the Old Testament is the story of Joseph, because he waited so long for his dreams to come true. I mean, do you feel like that? I feel like that all the time. Like, I have this big dream and it's not happening. He went to prison, and still after all that, his dream did come true. And so pick a story this week and share it with someone. It could be an unbeliever, it could be a believer, but just take time and read something from the Bible, a chapter, two chapters, and that's the way God will reveal himself to you. Cool. I'm going to ask us to pray in a bit, and then you guys can hang out, and then we'll see you at Battle of the Sexes on Friday, which is going to be fun, because girls are going to win. Woohoo! Okay, let's take a minute and pray, please, guys. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the awesome power of your word that is contained in the Bible. We thank you for the many stories of the Old Testament and for the revelation of your Son in the New Testament. Father, how I pray that in our reading, you would reveal yourself to us. You'd reveal your character. You'd reveal how we can be obedient. Father, show us specific steps and specific ways in which we can apply the lessons that you're teaching us. Father, don't let us be intimidated by Revelations or by Romans or by Exodus. But yet, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, would you reveal yourself to us? Would you reveal the principles that you want us to live by? And so, Lord, as we go out this week, I pray that you may give us an opportunity to plant a seed in someone's life, an opportunity to share the story of Moses or to share the story of Isaac. anything that can reach out to those who are suffering, Lord, even the story of the Gospels. And so, Lord, be with us and give us the courage, as you gave Joshua, to stand before millions and be able to declare your name. Thank you for who you are in our lives. In your name we do pray. Amen. Thanks, guys. That's it.